Monster Man, Episode 179, Demons, Part 4.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we are going to almost but not quite complete our run through the Demons chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. But first, a little bit of business. You've probably noticed that my voice sounds a little different than it usually does on Monster Man. That is because I am on holiday and I am recording with my portable microphone. I apologize for the drop in sound quality. That's going to be the case for this episode and episode 180, but hopefully it won't be too bad. That also means that this episode is going to be a little bit shorter than most of our episodes, and that I'm not going to get the chance to address any of the really great listener comments that I've received over the last week or two. There's some really good stuff, some of it following on from the Elf episode, and some of it from earlier regular episodes, and I really do want to talk about it, but that's going to be easier when I'm at home. With that in mind, let's get moving on demons. The first demon in today's episode is Koshche. Koshche is named after a figure from Russian folklore. That's a guy called Koshche the Undying, or Koshche the Immortal. I may be mispronouncing that. Koshche is sort of an evil sorcerer who appears as the villain in a number of Russian fairy tales and works of Russian literature inspired by them. He is not all that similar to Koshche the Demon from the Monster Manual 2. Koshche the Demon is a big fella. He's 7 feet tall. He's armed with a hammer that can stun people. He's got a couple of pet Lucratas who follow him around, and he even rides around on a dragon. So he is pretty tooled up. Those don't really read as demonic to me, and he basically seems almost more like a kind of ogre or wild man character, which I think is maybe more in keeping with the folkloric Koshche. He seems to sit somewhat uneasily among the demons. The inclusion of non-demonic creatures seems to reinforce that idea. But I like Koshche. He's definitely a villain character. And a bit like Grazd, he's said to be so hateful that other demons don't like him, and that he's despised even among his own kind. Koshche's stunning hammer rather reminds me of Chernabog from American Gods, both the character in the novel, and if you're watching the show, as played by Peter Stormare. Now, Chernabog is another Slavic deity. He's attested by a very small number of sources. Almost nothing is known about him. And the thing about him stunning things with a hammer and being kind of like a slaughter man, I do not believe is in any of the sources. I think that's, you know, either original to the novel or comes from a later source of the game and incorporated into the novel, but I think it's a Chicago butcher to the world thing. And the idea of butchery as associated with sacrifice, which is something that turns up in the textual sources about Chernabog. I guess Chernabog is Slavic, Koshche is Russian, maybe it kind of fits, but maybe I'm just sort of drawing that conclusion where none exists. Koshche is very cool and characterful. Indeed, I like him a bit more than someone like Grazd, whose deal is pretty much that he's a demon. Koshche is distinctive in his demonicness, maybe almost to the point where he loses some of the demonic flavor. But he's good. Next, we have a type of greater demon, the Nabasu. Now, the Nabasu are a fantastic example of monsters whose description drives scenarios effectively. By which I mean that the Nabasu have this somewhat detailed, life cycle. Known as the Death Stealers, they come to the Prime Material Plane to kill and create evil undead, which, you know, is a mean thing to do, and hey, they're demons, but it's actually part of their reproductive cycle. This is how new Nabasu are born, and we get stats for weakened younger Nabasu as they evolve into more powerful ones. Later editions of D&D, or later, like, Dragon magazines for this one, did introduce the idea of larval Nabasu as a slightly different monster. Oh, and, the Nabasu has a distinction of not being from the Lost Caverns of Tsoikanth. Koshche is, though. Finally, we have Pazuzu. Pazuzu is a wind demon from Assyrian mythology. Now, you will see sources that describe Pazuzu as Sumerian, but I think, don't quote me on this, but I think that we don't actually have Sumerian sources for people venerating Pazuzu. I know there are Akkadian texts. Akkadian is a later language that uses the Sumerian cuneiform alphabet, but is not actually closely related to Sumerian. So Akkadian and Assyrian, those are sort of like successor states to Sumer. I'm probably oversimplifying that, but anyway, Pazuzu's a wind demon, and he's opposed to Lamashtu. Lamashtu is another demon, another evil creature, that is said to be particularly harmful to pregnant women or to women in childbirth. So Pazuzu is sometimes invoked in prayers or amulets to protect these women, even though Pazuzu is a demon. Pazuzu is a bad guy. And the brother, I guess, of Humbaba or Huawa, who is the monster fought by the hero Gilgamesh in the Epic of Gilgamesh. Now, again, I don't know how secure that identification is actually in the original sources. That's something that later texts certainly do say, but I don't know what they're basing it on. Anyway, Pazuzu is pretty great because he's an example of a way in which the rivalry among demons, or demons and devils, or whatever, could affect the quote-unquote real world of a campaign. That is to say, if Pazuzu and Lamashtu hate each other, and you're particularly afraid of Lamashtu, then you might very well invoke Pazuzu, even though Pazuzu is a demon and a bad guy. But, you know, you have immediate pressing concerns that might motivate you to propitiate Pazuzu, even if in the long run that's probably not a very good idea. In fact, you could argue that if you're a demon, this is a very successful strategy. If you're trying to gather worshippers, you could explicitly position yourself as an opponent to someone who is already very successful. A demon who has a lot of people on the prime material plane concerned about them. And that would, I mean, if you were successful at all, that would bring you in worshippers or adherents who initially just wanted you to help protect them against your rival. Of course, the problem is that in order to do this, you have to pick a fight with somebody pretty powerful, which if you're just trying to get yourself established, might not be the best choice. Pazuzu's appearance here, the image of Pazuzu, is based on archaeological representations of Pazuzu, and specifically on the one that was used as an inspiration for the demon in the film The Exorcist. So Pazuzu is probably best known as the name of the demon in The Exorcist, even though the demon in The Exorcist is just a generic demon. It doesn't really have anything to do with the Pazuzu of ancient belief. It's just the use of a name for atmosphere. This is also Pazuzu's first appearance in AD&D. He is not present in the Lost Caverns of Tsoikanth. Can you believe it? And I think Pazuzu has, because he's in The Exorcist, he's enough name recognition that when you say Pazuzu, your players are likely to think, ooh, that guy means business, but not necessarily to have any strong preconceived notions about him, other than that he is bad. So I think he's a sound choice as an antagonist in a game. Okay, that's about all the time that we have for today. In our next episode, we're going to talk about the very last demon in this section, the Rudderkin, and we're going to go on and talk about the very strange story behind the Darrow. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.